heart, God. Thank you for the prayer and the intercession. Thank you, God, for the sacrifice that he's made in following you. And I just pray, God, you fill him with your Holy Spirit right now, the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill him afresh, God. Fill him afresh. And that what you release in him, God, would just advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Well, hello, everybody. It's good to see you all. I don't know. I think I've probably spoken at Mount Chapel more than any church in Manchester so far, because I've lost count. So how many of you, this is the first time you've seen me come here speak? Well, welcome. I just want to say it's an honor to come and share with you some of what I've been journeying with God over the last few years. I really want to pray for Mount Chapel. Do you mind standing with me right now? Because as I was coming up, I just really want to pray for what God's doing right here before I go into sharing anything. See if you can. If you don't mind, I'd love you to just lift your hands with me right now. Father, I thank you for Mount Chapel Church, and your word says that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail. So Lord, right now as I stand in this space, I thank you that you're building this space, you're building this church, you're building these people. So Lord, I'm asking that Lord, any cycle and anything that has just been repetitive and has hindered this church from moving into new realms of breakthrough, let those cycles be broken. Any limitations and anything that has hindered this church from moving into the fullness of your purpose, Lord, I'm asking that Lord, in this season, 2017, that there will be a shift in the spiritual temperature, spiritual atmosphere of this space, Father. Lord, let heaven break into this space like never before. Father, I thank you for the words that have been spoken over this place, of salvations, of deliverances, of encounters. And Lord, I know some of that has happened, but Lord, we know there's still more that's yet to happen. So Lord, we say no more stagnation. We speak an acceleration. We speak almost like an impartation of the life of God. Everything that has been dead or is dying right now, we prophesy the resurrection life. Come on, agree with me right now. We say resurrection life into relationships, resurrection life into ministries, resurrection life into every aspect of Mount Chapel's calling. Father, I say, Lord, let the life of God begin to burst forth from this church, and let the darkness begin to be dispelled, Father. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, to destroy the works of the enemy. So Lord, whatever the enemy has been releasing or set against the progress of this church, Lord, we say, let it be destroyed in Jesus' name, and let the church advance. Let it move forward. Let it move forward. Let the life begin to come forth like never before, Father. Lord, I'm asking for giftings, even within this church, Lord, that have not come forth yet. Maybe insecurities, maybe just all kinds of limitations holding them back from stepping into their calling within this congregation. Lord, we release everyone that's here to function in what you've called them to function in for the purpose of advancing your kingdom in this region. So Father, I'm thankful for Mount Chapel. I'm thankful for the giftings in this space, Father. And Lord, we just say, Lord, let it keep going from glory to glory to glory, Father. Yes, I thank you for a breakthrough atmosphere over this church, Father. As people step into this place, let them step into freedom and deliverance. Even right now in this room, Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you're releasing freedom and deliverance over emotions. Right now, we take authority over every emotional manipulation, over every heaviness, every depression, Father, every deception, Lord, every cynicism, every oppression on the mind right now in Jesus' name. We command you to be broken. And I thank you for freedom. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. So, Lord, I just release that freedom right now. Over emotions, over hearts, over minds. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let the blood of Jesus. We just took communion right now. I thank you for the blood that begins to cleanse our emotions, align our minds with truth. Thank you for that right now. We are victorious in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can have your seats. I need to keep an eye on the time. What time is about 13 minutes ish? Is that right? Or should I go for 2 hours? Okay, so I brought some of these. I'm going to put them out there. Called with the Claywell Gathering. We do an annual, by the way, I lead a ministry called Prayer Storm, based right here in Manchester. My wife is somewhere out there with our son, Justice. And we've been involved in this prayer movement since 2009. In 2014, we became a charity and set this up as something that we do full time. So we've just seen God's blessing and favor in many ways. And we've been so encouraged by what God's been doing. He's just opened incredible doors for us across the nation and the nations to communicate this message of prayer and fasting. So right here in Manchester, we do annual gatherings that go on for like a whole day, 7 hours. And we've got one of those coming up in May. And I really love for you to join us. It's a day of worship, a day of prayer, a day of fasting for the nation. I've just been going through some, a specific prophetic word. Have you all heard of Smith Wigglesworth? You know, a famous kind of man from Bradford, man of God, and, you know, God used him across the world. And he released a prophetic word about the church in the UK in 1947. I don't know if any of you have come across it, but it's very interesting because a lot of people have been, well, some of the people I'm connected with have been talking about this. Because 2017, this year, is the 70th year of this prophetic word. And I'm just going to read it quickly. It says, this was 1947. It says, during the next few decades, there will be two distinct moves of the Holy Spirit across the church in Great Britain. The first move would affect every church that's open to receive it and will be characterized by the restoration of the baptism of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The second move of the Holy Spirit would result in people leaving historic churches and planting new churches. I mean, realize that that has been happening. Now, this was 1947, way before, you know, a lot of the Reformation going on in the historic churches, you know, people, church planting movements. Okay, so it says, during the duration of each of these moves, the people who are involved will say this is the Great Revival. But the Lord says, no, neither is this the Great Revival, but both are steps towards it. When the new church phase is on the wane, there will be evidence in the churches of something that has not been seen before, a coming together of those with emphasis on the Word and those with emphasis on the Spirit. When the Word and the Spirit come together, there will be the biggest move of the Holy Spirit that the nations and indeed the world has ever seen. It will mark the beginning of a revival that would eclipse anything that has been witnessed within these shores, even the Wesleyan and the Welsh revivals of former years. The outpouring of God's Spirit will flow from the United Kingdom to mainland Europe, and from there will begin a missionary move to the ends of the earth. Isn't that awesome? If you're not excited, I don't know what else. I don't know what to do. That was 1947. A great man of God spoke that word. And I'm very stirred about that word for the United Kingdom. Now, you may be living in this area, Salford, you know, I don't know, Manchester, you know, and sometimes we can be so focused in on the problems and the things that are going on in our lives, we don't lift our eyes to see the bigger picture of what God's actually doing. We're all part of a huge story. We're all part of an amazing story that's been written, that's already been written, and we're living it out. And I really do believe prophecies like this, we need to give birth to them in prayer. Because the fact that God is saying he wants to do something over the United Kingdom does not mean it just happens. So 2017 would mark the 70th year of this prophetic word. And we haven't seen the fullness of it come to pass yet. And there's been other words about God moving in the UK. But I'm convinced that just like, if you know the story of Daniel, Daniel was reading Jeremiah's prophecy. And it was basically Daniel was in Babylon, reading the Bible, Jeremiah, and he realized that Jeremiah released the prophetic word that they will be in captivity for 70 years. Okay? It was a shame I didn't get the reference. It's in Daniel. Just go and look in Daniel. They will be in captivity for 70 years. He's reading Jeremiah's prophecy, and he realizes the 70 years are up, are coming close. Okay, I don't know exactly when it was when he read the prophecy, but he definitely realized it was in the season for that prophetic word to manifest. Do you know what Daniel did? Well, do you know what Daniel did not do? Daniel did not write a newsletter to his partners and say, wow, I just received the word from the Lord. The 70 years are up and it's time for us to be out of captivity. Praise God. That's what Daniel did. Do you know what he did? He took the prophetic word and went into prayer and fasting. Today, we don't tend to respond like that to the words of God. We tend to be like, oh yeah, thank you, Lord. That's so amazing. Oh, I felt good when that word was spoken and goosebumps. But we don't realize the prophetic words that God speaks, they are ammunition for warfare. And they need to be birthed. Prophecy is invitation to intercession. Okay? 1 Timothy 1:18, one of my favorite scriptures. Paul says to Timothy, remember the prophecies that have been spoken over you, that by them, everyone say by them. By what? By the prophecies. It says, by them you may wage the good warfare. So the prophecy was ammunition for warfare. Are you with me? So we are just stirred in this line to call the body of Christ together in Manchester across the nation to gather together and use the prophetic words God's been speaking over us for warfare for the nation. And you may be thinking, you say, well, I've got all this stuff going on in my own life. You know, I just want to see breakthrough in my own life. You know, what I've realized is when I make God's priority my priority, He makes my priority His priority. Does that make any sense? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So I want to challenge you, how focused are you on God's bigger picture of the kingdom and not just your own breakthrough? You want to see God do this in your life, turn this around in your life. How much do you lift your eyes to see what God's doing around? So I want to encourage you to join us on the 20th of May for that. The flyers will be out there. Another thing I want to say quickly is the gathering is called We Declare War, and we've got an album coming out at the end of this month called We Declare War. And I wanted to share something briefly that I think is just really interesting in the line of when we choose to focus on God's agenda, He starts to sort out our own agenda. This is just some testimonies that we've been having in our ministry. And I think it's a picture of some of the things God's doing in our day. Now, how many of you understand that we're in a spiritual battle? Okay, a few of you were like, How many of you understand that we're in a spiritual battle? Every day there's things going on around us. Sometimes we pick it up, we sense it, sometimes we don't. And sometimes we're more aware of the intensity of the battle than other times. But there's a lot of stuff going on around us. And if you've been in ministry for any length of time or involved church, well, you understand that money is spiritual. It takes money to do the work of God. And when God asks you to do something, when God asks you to put on a prayer gathering, you know, you're not charging for people to come to it and it's costing thousands, you know, like 10,000 to put on a gathering for people to come to pray, £10,000. I'm thinking, well, you know, that's not money I just pluck off the tree somewhere. You know, it's not like, okay, God, this costs a lot of money. Anyway, last year, we ended up doing a tour around the nation and a prayer storm gathering, prayer storm tours. And we're just, afterwards, we needed some money to come in to cover some of the costs. And I was praying, Lord, thank you that you led us to do this. I thank you that you've provided. We did cover the bills. However, we still needed the money to come in to cover the hole in the budget. But anyway, I don't need to go into account the details. Anyway, I was praying, Lord, okay, we need this money to come in. This is like November. In my mind, I'm thinking by December, I'm expecting that the finances would have come in to cover the cost of this event that we did. December came, the money is not coming. January came, nothing's coming. So I am now beginning to wonder what's going on. Lord, did I miss you? Did I just presume that you were leading me to do something that you weren't leading me to do? Or is this the devil at work? Or is this you at work? Now, you got to understand something. When you pray, you have to pray by revelation. Is anyone alive here? You can pray about many things in your life right now, but you have to pray from heaven's perspective if you're going to be effective. You have to pray into a situation as heaven is seeing that situation. Okay, quick example. This probably part of my preach as well, because this is going to help someone. When Jericho was broken down and, you know, all that stuff, Joshua kind of led them and they destroyed Jericho. He released a curse over Jericho, didn't he? And he says, whoever tries to build this place, lay the foundations with their firstborn and something about erecting the walls with their last son or something like that. Anyone remember this? Anyone remember this? Okay, if you don't know it, just Google it. So, Joshua released a curse over Jericho. Probably hundreds of years later, someone comes on the scene that has no idea about that curse. And they are passionate about their city and want to rebuild the walls. They start to rebuild the walls and their firstborn falls ill and dies. Now, if you're a pastor in Jericho, and that guy brought their first son to you and saying he's sick, do you understand that to effectively pray in that situation, you need to understand the cause of that sickness? That sickness is the result of a curse. It's not just the fact that, oh, his blood isn't, oh, I don't know, the organs aren't working properly and all this. So to pray with precision and be effective, you have to pray by revelation. Am I making sense? So I am praying, saying, God, okay, what's going on? And I felt the Lord reveal to me and my wife, this may sound strange to you, but I'm not going to apologize for this because this is what's actually going on. The Lord told us there was a python spirit on our finances. Now, I don't understand all these things. All I know is the Lord was saying to us, there's like a demonic spirit that's been assigned to strangle your finances for your ministry, to suck out the life out of you so that you're able to do nothing. Now, the moment we had that revelation, guess what? We know exactly what line we're praying in. Are you with me? Are you with me? So we start to pray, and the Lord starts to give us revelation. Because as we're praying, we're saying, Lord, we're cutting the head of this spirit. But the Lord shows us that, the Lord showed us through dreams that every time we cut off the head of this python, another one grew up. So every time we cut the head, another one grows. So we're like, okay, Lord, in the dream, the Lord was saying that the only thing that was going to destroy this spirit was the fire of God. So guess what? We have more precision in our prayers. Now we're praying the fire of God over this thing. So we're in a season of fasting and prayer, and we're praying fire over this thing, breaking this thing. My wife, at the end of the season of fasting, in fact, during that season of fasting, my wife was praying a specific prayer. And the prayer was along the lines of this: Lord, give me a sound that breaks the chains of witchcraft. God, give me a sound that breaks the chains of immorality. And give me a sound that, just like when David played before Saul, demons had to flee. God, give me a sound of deliverance. She was praying this prayer every day during this fast. At the end of the fast, she went to a meeting. A lady that doesn't know her called her out. In fact, she went to that meeting saying, Lord, if you have a prophetic word for me, you're going to have to find me because I'm going to hide. So she went and hid behind someone. And lo and behold, God had a word, because this lady doesn't know who my wife is. She says, hey, you behind so-and-so, you know, stand up. The Lord is saying to you, you have been praying, you have been contending for a sound. How many of you remember what I just said? She was praying the prayer daily. God, give me a sound that breaks the chains of, and a sound of deliverance. And the lady says, I believe the Lord is saying to you, you've been contending for a sound that's not yet reached the earth realm yet. And then she's going to prophesy about music. You're going to write music that's going to impact the persecuted church. Now, we've started that process. We're releasing this album next week. But where I'm going with this is the fact that as she's prophesying, guess what she says next? And there's a python spirit on your finances. And it's not just in your personal finances, it's wrapped itself around your ministry. She doesn't know my wife is in ministry, it's wrapped itself around your ministry finances. It says, and we call down the fire of God on that python spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Loose your, everyone's praying. She says, okay, in the next 10 days, God's going to release money to your hands to show you that it's breaking you through. Wow. 2 days later, we got a check for £15,000. So how many understand that we're in a spiritual battle? Yes. And you have to do your homework in the spirit first if you want to see breakthroughs in the natural. Don't just try to shift things around in the natural and, you know, worry and anxious about this. Let's deal with things where they really need to be dealt with in the spirit realm. When we do that, we see breakthroughs come. I don't know why I shared all that, but that's for someone. I hope. Today, what I'm going to just touch on briefly, as I prayed about this meeting, is a word that I've had before, but I just couldn't shake it off as I prayed about the meeting. I felt like it's very much related to where Mount Chapel is at, in terms of what God wants to do, and perhaps that's why I was even praying at the start. There's two scriptures. There's Joshua 3:5, and then there's Lamentations 1:9. Now, Joshua 3:5 is a fairly well-known one, it says this: sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Some translation says, consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Now, this is the Lord speaking to Joshua. This was the Lord preparing the people of God for them seeing wonders. Jordan parted and them being stepping into the promised land. The nation had been in a season where they were seeing manna fall from heaven. There's a difference between, listen to what I'm about to say, there's a difference between God releasing provision by manna falling from heaven, supernatural provision. There's a difference in that and the land producing for you. Are you with me? So there are times in our walk with God where we go through transitions. God has been doing this up until this point, but the next season you're about to go in, God is saying, I'm going to be doing things differently to how you've known me to do things. And you've got to pay attention when God is speaking. Okay? When you're convinced God is speaking to you in a certain area, we have to pay attention and value the words of God. Because if we don't, we are headed for shipwreck. Abraham would have killed Isaac if he did not carry on listening to the current word of God. God said, kill him. And then God said, don't. What would have happened if he just ran with the killing and didn't bother listening to the stop? God can say one thing in one season, and in another season be saying something different. Listen, the right word from God applied in the wrong season can be disastrous. So, I mean, you probably know this. You can use the Bible to prove just about anything you want. You know, if you want to excuse sin, if you want to excuse a life, you can use the Bible to excuse certain things in your life. That's why we need to not just read the Bible from just head knowledge and understanding. We need the Holy Spirit to bring light. Because remember, Satan knows the Bible. And he even used the Bible to try to convince Jesus to sin against God. So it's not just about having a head knowledge of this. We have to have a revelation. This, it has to be real. And for that to happen, we have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that makes this book alive. Without the Holy Spirit, this is just letters on the page. And in fact, when I was at university, I met some Muslims. In fact, I went to a lecture, I think, once, and a Muslim guy was debating about Christianity, and he knew the Bible more than us. So the fact that he had knowledge of this book does not mean he had knowledge of the one who wrote it. Head knowledge of this book does not mean your life is changed. The world has never been changed by people who had head knowledge of this book. But the world has been changed by people who had an encounter with the guy who wrote the book. So it's not just about the head knowledge. And I feel like God's saying to us that we need to be discerning of what he's saying and respond to what he's saying rightly in this season. We have to discern what God's saying to us as a church. I'm talking to you like I'm part of you. We have to discern what God's saying to us as a church and make the adjustments we need to make and be aggressive about those words. Joshua is in a season of transition and the Lord is telling him to prepare for what's about to come. Because what's about to come is very different to what has been. And we can't measure what's about to come by what happened back then, because it's a totally different world. Manna falling from heaven to the land producing for you, it's very different. So we can't go into the next season by trying to measure God's activity by what happened in the last season. In fact, we have to, Isaiah, forget the former things, because I'm about to do a new thing. I'm prophesying to you, Mount Chapel, right now. I feel God saying, I'm about to do a new thing in your midst. Forget the former things. Forget the hurts, forget the pains, forget the distractions, forget the oppressions, forget the restrictions, forget the politics, forget the manipulations. I'm about to do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Are you so caught up with your own life that you can't see that I am moving or I'm about to do this? It's like we're in the house. I'm watching the TV, and the guy on the TV newscast is saying, there's a storm coming. And you're thinking, you say, well, I can't feel anything right now. Well, the guy on the news has equipment, or is connected to someone who has equipment, to pick up the fact that there's a storm coming. You don't have those equipment, so you may not know. You may be feeling the calm before the storm. But because you feel nothing, does not mean you don't listen to the guy on the news saying there's a storm coming. Get out of the area right now. You're like, oh, you know what, I can't feel anything coming, so I'm just going to chill out. Well, if you do that, then you'll be in heaven very soon. Because you refused to heed the prophetic word of somebody who discerned what was coming that you weren't discerning. And sometimes when we don't respond to the word that God has spoken of what he wants to do, when we don't respond rightly, we actually shipwreck what God wants to do in us and through us. And many times we count ourselves out. And sometimes it's not that God doesn't want to deal with us, but he passes us by. I don't want God to pass Mount Chapel by. Are you perceiving what God is doing here? And are you responding rightly? Or have you just got stuck in the culture and the system of doing church? Movements move. God is on the move. And we need to be, not, if faith comes by hearing, present tense, hearing the word of God right now. Yes, thank God for what he spoke last year. But hearing now is essential. What's God saying to the church? And as a church member here, are you just coming to receive your word? Or are you just coming to get fed? Now, I'm going to get a bit harsh. If you've been a Christian for decades, you've been a Christian for 5 years, 10 years, and you're still coming just to get fed, you're communicating to me your spiritual immaturity. I've got a son, he's 3 years old, he can feed himself. You don't come to church just to get fed. Because the job of the pastor is not just to feed you and feed you and feed you and make you feel good and sort out all your problems. You've been a Christian 10 years, 5 years, you're supposed to be part of the army. The responsibility is not just on the man of God or the woman of God, the pastor, the teacher, to bring the word of God for the moment. When you take up your responsibility and I take up my responsibility and we come together, we're an army. But the problem is many times we leave the responsibility to the leaders, so they bear all the weight and they're being crushed and they're feeling tired and worn out because we just feed me, entertain me, make me feel good, pray for me, do this for me. It's all about me, me, me. Well, that's what babies do. It's all about them. This is my job. Say it like it is. There's no point sugarcoating anything. Babies always need to be made to feel good and fed and me, me, me. But God is like, lift your eyes, not about you. And you're complaining, well, my life is difficult, I'm finding it hard, you know, I'm going through this problem, my relationship, my children are this, my finances are this. Well, welcome to the army. It's never going to be easy. It's never going to, if you go to any church, listen to Christian TV or radio or whatever books you read and think your Christian life is just going to be a sale, it's a lie. Some of the greatest warriors for God have fought the greatest battles for God in the secret places that no one knows about. And then God uses them on the platform and you go, oh wow, man of God. But you don't know the battles they won for God in the secret places. Listen, when you learn how to overcome and win personal battles, you position yourself to win kingdom battles. Many of you are not fighting your battles properly. You're putting the responsibility on the person on the platform to do it all for you. God's like, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. You are my bride. You're a warrior bride. Stop putting responsibility on the guy up there. Arise and fight. Arise and seek my face. What do you mean you're not being fed? Have you lost your Bible? If anyone is saying they're not being fed, it's like, feed yourself. Have you lost your worship life? Have you? That is where you get fed. You don't come to church to get a word from God. You come to church to get confirmation for the word you've been getting when you were at home. What word were you getting at home? Or were you just watching TV and thinking the pastor will come lay hands on you and all of a sudden you're on fire one moment? The fires that burn and affect the nations of the earth are fires that are stewarded in the intimacy of people's lives when there's no one watching. But we want the spectacular. We want someone to lay hands on us and all our problems are sorted out. We just want, you know what? One of our problems in the Western church is we just want it easy. We're comfortable. In fact, we're too comfortable. We're too comfortable. You heard about what happened in London. Imagine, God forbid, more of that happening. Every church probably is saying, let's pray for the nation. Let's pray for the nation. So why is it that we wait until the crisis before we respond with prayer? Because we're just reactional. We're just reacting to what's going on. And that's the same way many of us are in the church. We're just reacting to what's going on. But God is like, I want you to lift your eyes and realize you already have spiritual responsibility. God is saying to you that you already have responsibility. Just like the guy who stands on the platform to preach, like I'm doing right now, many of you will never do this. Many of you will never stand behind a platform and do this, but you already have a platform. But you don't realize that responsibility. I love the illustration. I always use this illustration. If someone said, you know, if I said to you, okay, tomorrow, around, I don't know, let's just say tomorrow at this time, tomorrow at noon or at afternoon, there's going to be a conference in this building. The conference is going to be about da-da-da-da, and I'd like you to preach on the first session for an hour. Okay, if I say that to you, we're having a conference here tomorrow, and I'd like you to preach for an hour at noon. I guarantee you, after this meeting, you won't go home and watch TV. Why? Why? Because all of a sudden, you've got spiritual responsibility. And that spiritual responsibility drives you to seek God, because you want to hear what God's saying. So the point now is, why do you need to wait for me to ask you to preach, to realize that you have spiritual responsibility? Because you already have the responsibility without me asking you to preach. But it's just not hit you. Your workplace, you have responsibility. Your family, you have responsibility. Your community, you are a voice for God. And just like I will pray and say, God, I'm going to preach, I need a word, or whatever it is, you need to be thinking the same about where God has placed in your workplace. Are you with me? You need to approach that like your ministry. We're all in full-time ministry. You don't have to get a paycheck from a church to be in full-time ministry. I feel like I'm on a rant. Is that mine? I'll drink to that. We don't need a paycheck from a church. Excuse me, to be in full-time ministry. We're all, as a full-time mom, you're in full-time ministry. As a nurse, you're in full-time ministry. As a teacher, you're in full-time ministry. Joshua is in full-time ministry. He had received spiritual responsibility, and he was hearing what God was saying in that moment. And what God was saying to Joshua was, get ready. There's something coming. Consecrate yourself today because of what I'm about to do tomorrow. Now, I don't know if Joshua had a full idea of what was ahead of him, but he knew he had to get ready in that moment for what was ahead. Your today is your seed for your tomorrow. If God is saying, consecrate yourself today because of what I'm about to do tomorrow, if you don't respond to the word of God today, when that tomorrow comes, you will not walk in what he's saying he wants to release. You have to respond now to the word that God is saying, get ready. To consecrate, you have to separate. Consecration is not about what you're not doing. It's not so much about what you're not doing and separated from, as it is what you're separated to. There's a difference between holiness and morality. There are many moral people that don't know Jesus. In fact, there's some people out there that are more moral than many Christians. That doesn't mean they're holy. Holiness is a secondary consequence of who you're connected to, Jesus. Morality is about your activity and what you're not doing. Holiness is about not just what you're not doing. In fact, what you're not doing is a secondary consequence of who you're connected to. Because you're connected to Jesus, you know that you can't do A, B, C, D. So you're not doing that because it's not because the pastor said don't do that, but because of the significance of the relationship you're involved in, you're not going to do that because you don't want to hurt that relationship. Are you with me? An athlete is holy unto their sport. Why? Because an athlete who wants to compete at the Olympics and wants to win gold, they prepare intensely for that. They wake up early, they have a strict diet, they live in a certain way. Because they see themselves winning the gold medal. Because of what they see, it then affects how they live. Are you hearing me? Because they want to win the gold medal, that ideology puts a demand on how they live now. So they're not going to eat Burger King. They're not going to eat McDonald's. And when you go out with them and you're eating all the junk food and they're with you and they don't eat the junk food, you can't look at them and tell them they're being legalistic. Why? Because they have a vision of something ahead of them, and that vision is now placing a restriction on the way they live. The problem with many of us in the church is we have no vision of what's ahead of us. We just come to church, listen to this nice sermon, go home, carry on with our lives, and, oh God, we need this financial breakthrough, we need this. But we don't have a vision of what God really wants to do in us and through us, and through the body of Christ. When you see that, when you really, really see the glory that God has called you to walk in as a believer, you'll be dissatisfied with everything you've accepted is okay. And it puts a demand on your life now. So, how I know how significant you've received, how I know the level to which you've received the word of God about what He wants to do tomorrow is by examining how that word is affecting your life now and the restrictions it places on you. Okay, listen. When God has a special mission, He puts a demand on a life for a special lifestyle. To accomplish what God wants to do in Mount Chapel next year, there's a demand He puts on Mount Chapel right now. For Mount Chapel to accomplish what God has for it in 5 years, there's a demand He puts on Mount Chapel now. We don't just wait and see what happens. We have to catch a vision, all God's saying, and let that vision affect our living now. Am I making sense at all? Joshua 3:5. Consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow I will do amazing things among you. The next scripture I want to turn to is Lamentation 1:9, and I finish with this one. I was reading this, and I was just massively impacted by it a few weeks ago. It says, so this is about the nation of Israel. Her uncleanness was in her skirts. She did not... Okay, listen to this. She did not consider her destiny. Therefore, her collapse was awesome. What a scripture. She did not consider her destiny. Therefore, her collapse was awesome. That's talking about the nation of Israel. To consider destiny was more than just, oh, that's a very nice word from God. Oh, thank you, God, for the word you spoke through Moses and Joshua and, you know, and all these amazing things you're going to do through us as a nation. It wasn't just accepting an idea and almost romanticizing the idea of what God wants to do. That's not what considering a destiny is about. To consider a destiny, for me, I understand that as meaning they didn't allow the word that God had spoken about what He was going to do to so much impact their lives that it affected how they lived in the now. So they did not consider it. They did not consider destiny because it was not affecting their lifestyles. And because the word of God was not affecting their lifestyles, their collapse was awesome. The reverse is true. When we consider the words that God's speaking over us, and we allow it to affect our lives now, the way He raises us up is also awesome. Does that make any sense? The reverse is true of that statement. And I just want to challenge you as a church. Don't let the words of God that He's speaking and that He's spoken fall to the ground. And just be, oh yeah, that was a very nice word that was spoken maybe 5 years ago. Oh, that prophet came and said those things and, you know, oh yeah, yeah, that was really good. I want you to consider the words that God has spoken and how those words should be affecting you now. There should be things in your life that have been realigned. Whether it's your thinking, whether it's the way you do things, there should be an alignment that's showing that you are considering the prophetic word. And I do believe the secondary consequence of that and the way God's going to raise up His banner in this place, that people would so come into this place that this place becomes too small. Thanks for the amens and the hums. I really do believe God is saying, Joshua 3:5, get ready, consecrate yourselves now, because tomorrow is amazing. Some of you have lost faith in the fact that God wants to do great things tomorrow, because you've heard it over and over again, like, oh, I'm going to do it, I'm about to, and you're like, well, God, when is it going to be? I want you to consider Abraham, how long he had to wait. I would rather go to my grave believing for God to move and giving all my heart for it
than go to my grave in cynicism, unbelief and doubt. Which is so prevalent in the church right now. So I've seen that, I've heard that, I've done that. I've noticed people who do amazing things for God have this childlike nature about how they receive the words of God to them. They're excited about it. Even if they heard it before, it's fresh to them. And this mindset of, oh, you know, I heard that before. I've been there, I've done that. I think that's rotten thinking. Because I believe God's calling us to have a childlike approach to His words, where we get excited about when we know God is speaking recent words. And the more we respond to what God's saying, the more He keeps bringing more confirmations. I've had some of the most incredible prophetic experiences and encounters, and many of them have come from just following a dream, following a word, and just more starts coming. It's like, wow, this is crazy. I think that's all I have to say. Do you understand with me? One of the prayers that I felt God put in my heart to pray a few weeks ago, maybe earlier in this year, is I said, Lord, rearrange my diary. And I felt like God had started doing that. Because the nature of what I felt He was calling me to meant that my diary needed to change. And things needed to be reshaped. And I had to invite God to come and do that. And I want to even ask you to begin to ask God to come and rearrange your life. In context of where He's taken you, there's some baggage that some of you are carrying that will not go into the next season. You have to invite Him to release His sword to cut it off. Offense, religious mindsets, things that you just almost put God in a box. And God's like, you know, that's baggage, that excess baggage you don't need in this next season. So if you can, you know, just stretch out your hands to the Lord in a posture of kind of like just surrender right now. And I'll just pray over us as a church. Father, as we lift our hands to you right now, I'm asking that you begin to cut off the excess baggage. Begin to cut off the things that have become just weights that are slowing us down. And hindering our effectiveness in just following the words that you've spoken. Father, I'm asking that you would pull down strongholds in our minds by your word right now. Let those wrong ideologies be crushed and removed, Father. I'm asking that, Father, you cause us to arise almost like with that childlike heart, receiving your word and being excited about your word. And Lord, as we lift our hands to you, I'm asking that you rearrange our diaries, rearrange our lives, such that we actually prepare ourselves for what you're about to do, expectant that you are at work in our lives. You know, Lord, I just break that lie that says, you know, it seems like God's not moving here, He's always doing it somewhere else. No, that's not true. God is moving here and God is working here more than you realize. I just remembered a word that Luengo shared, you know, where, you know, he was getting so distracted by all the other ministries around him, where it seemed like God was moving and he was about to shut down his thing and go and join them. And a prophetic person came to him and says, why are you looking at other people's wells? God is saying to you, there's a well beneath your feet, dig it. And I feel like God's saying that to you, Mount Chapel. Stop looking at other people's wells and, oh, this is how they're doing their thing, and this is how these people are doing their thing. Oh, we need to do this. And God said, you need to just dig the well beneath your feet. I am already here and I am already moving. Stop trying to flirt with the river and just jump into the river. You know, stop trying to just, you know, see, you know, test it out and see, oh, you know, I don't know if I want to really jump in. I'm really scared. And God's saying, just step off the cliff, so to speak, and just let go. And God is going to break it as you choose to let go of those restraints that have been holding you back. So Father, I'm saying, Lord, let those restraints be removed and let the wind of your spirit, and it may be scary, let it come in, Father. Not just rearrange, but bring order. Not just break things down, but bring order into every area of Mount Chapel, Father, over the youth ministry, over the children ministry, over those right here in this congregation, over the worship ministry. I thank you
for how you've raised up Jonathan out of this place. I know there are other Jonathans and other people that are going to have significant voices to the city and nation coming out of this congregation, Father. So Lord, let the limitations be broken and let the church be prepared for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you and thank you for listening.